This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Are you fascinated by the prospects of finding life beyond Earth? Do you wonder what it will mean if and when we make contact with aliens? Do you believe we already have been visited and that perhaps they're living among us? Do you want to know what the search for alien life can tell us about science or religion or global warming or the future of the human species? If you answered yes to any of this, I got the book for you. It's Beyond UFOs. Author and astrophysicist Jeffrey Bennett joins me live on the long line. Jeffrey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Very good. The website is beyondufos.com, and we want to let folks know that you are coming to Charlottesville on Monday, this coming Monday. You'll be speaking at Clark Hall at the University of Virginia from 4 to 5 p.m., an event that is free and open to the public. And we want to give folks a little preview of this exciting new book. Jeffrey, tell us first, give us a Jeffrey Bennett 101. Where are you from and a little bit about your background?
Well, I live in Boulder, Colorado. I am an astronomer. I taught at the University of Colorado for many, many years, and now I'm working full-time as a writer doing the college textbooks, books like Beyond UFOs, and a series of science books for children.
There you go. The kids' books, of course, are the Max Goes to the Moon and Jupiter and the upcoming, Max Goes to Jupiter is getting ready to come out. Max Goes to Mars, very popular kids' books that introduce astronomy and space to kids.
That's what I'm hoping they do, and I'm looking forward to speaking at a couple of local elementary schools there next week, too. So.
Oh, good deal. So, Jeffrey Bennett, the book is Beyond UFOs. What is the message of your book?
Well, there's a number of different messages in there, but I think the most important one is to say that this idea that a lot of people get it into the idea of UFOs and alien visitation and so on. And as a scientist, I don't have a whole lot to say about those things, but I think that same idea lies at the root of something much deeper in the human consciousness, which is this question of, are we really alone, or are we sharing this universe with others? And so I want to explore that question and look at some of the astonishing things that we're learning about both the possibility of extraterrestrial life and also about what its discovery or non-discovery would mean to us.
So tell us, what are some of the things we're learning as we search? What are we learning?
Well, I like to look at what I call the astronomical context, the planetary context, and the biological context. And all three of these have gone through a fairly dramatic transformation in the last few decades. In astronomy, we've really gotten a grip on how enormous the universe is and how many possible locations there are for life. In planetary science, we've begun to discover other planets around other stars and to really understand how planets work and which ones might have conditions for life. And in biology, we've made some amazing discoveries right here on Earth about the nature of life, finding out that life is actually much more diverse, much more able to survive in a wide range of conditions than really anyone had guessed even just 30, 40 years ago.
So and so much of your book is about the possibility of life elsewhere. On a scale of like 1 to 10, 10 being they're definitely out there and 1 being they're definitely not out there, where would science put us now?
Well, I would say that that's a real tough one. Science puts the possibility up close to 10 because I think we can say with pretty strong confidence right now that the conditions for life, everything that it seems like there ought to be to have life, really is going to be out there and is going to be at least fairly common. But that doesn't mean it's actually there. You can have the possibility without the reality. And that we won't know until we find it.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the whole idea of, I was talking with Ed Murphy one time, and he may have said this off air, but we were talking about the search for life. Ed Murphy, of course, astronomer at UVA. He joins us once a month on this program. And we were talking about the search for extraterrestrial life. And he said, you know, it might just be the fact that there's a whole lot of people just like us, but they just destroyed themselves or their environment before they had the opportunity to really learn deep space travel.
That's right. In fact, jumping sort of to my punchline at the end of the book, I talk about the three general classes of possibility that other civilizations. And one of the three classes of possibility is that there's lots of other civilizations, but they never last long for exactly that reason. And I usually put that one in the category of it seems, unfortunately, like it could be a fairly likely possibility that that's what happens. But we just hope not, because if everyone else has destroyed themselves, it wouldn't look very good for our odds. So we're hoping that there is actually a way to make it through this bottleneck of history where a civilization like ours has the ability both to destroy itself or to use those same technologies to begin to move outwards to the planets and the stars. And we're going to hope that we'll be smart enough to do that.
My guest is astrophysicist and author Jeffrey Bennett. The new book is Beyond UFOs. It's online at beyondufos.com. And he will be here in Charlottesville next week, speaking at the University of Virginia's Clark Hall on Monday at 4 o'clock, an event free and open to the public. You can pick up your copies of the book there, get them signed, and meet Jeffrey. Jeffrey, what are your thoughts about, you know, when you hear these reports of these MUFON and these UFO groups that have all the trappings of science, and yet you wonder if there's really much science there? What are your thoughts about the stories for decades, and some folks say it goes much further back than that, of people who say, I have seen something very strange, I myself have seen something very strange, and I have met people with the most unbelievable stories of lights in the sky and weird things they've seen. What is you as a scientist, as an author who deals with this subject all the time, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I've also seen my own strange things. I tell the story of one of the things that I saw that I can't explain in Chapter 2 of the book, Beyond UFOs. I also happened to, you brought up MUFON. I actually spoke to MUFON a couple of weeks ago when they had their annual conference in Denver, and they introduced me as their token skeptic, so it was kind of fun. But you know, I had a great time with them and a great response. And my position is, you know, if somebody says they saw something, I can't tell them they're wrong. If you saw it, you saw it. The only question is, what was it? And you can have your personal belief about what you think it was, but that won't necessarily convince anyone else. And, you know, one of the great questions that I got from one of the people at the audience there at MUFON was, suppose that, you know, aliens landed in my backyard, said hello to me, and everything else. Would I then be convinced that aliens are really visiting the Earth? And my answer is, yes, I would be convinced. But unless I had something more than that personal experience, I wouldn't expect my story to convince anyone else.
You'd just be another story.
That's right. And so the difference in science is, in science, a story is not good enough. We have to have something that can be repeated, tested, revisited, and so on. And that doesn't mean it's better or worse to do it that way than some other way. It's just that unless we do it that way, we can't all come to agreement and move on to the next step. And that's why I like to talk about science as a way of bringing people to agreement. When we have only a story, everybody can argue about it. In science, we're going to reach a level of evidence where you really can't have an argument anymore. It's been the case will eventually be sealed.
Yeah. Talk a little bit. One of the most exciting things, I think, in terms of space exploration, which is relatively speaking, in our own interstellar backyard, are some of the moons around Jupiter and Saturn. And there's, I'm just ignorant, aren't there one or two that actually do have water and they have ice, and there may be life underneath the ice?
Yes, you're thinking there of Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, that we're, I'd say, at the 99% confidence level, we think it has a deep ocean of water underneath its icy crust. It's also possible that a couple of other of Jupiter's moons have that as well, Ganymede and Callisto. Around Saturn, both Titan and Enceladus show evidence of possibly having underground oceans. But Europa is certainly the strongest case for that. And then don't forget about Mars, which is probably still the number one most likely place that we'll find life first, because we know it has frozen water on its surface, and that means it's, and we also know that it had liquid water on its surface in the past, so that means there could have been life in the past when that liquid water was flowing, and it's also very likely that there's at least some bits of liquid water still on Mars underground. So life could still be existing on Mars if it got started there long ago.
Wow.
So there's a number of places right here in our own solar system where we could conceivably find life.
Yeah. Jeffrey Bennett is the author of Beyond UFOs, online at beyondufos.com. He'll be here in Charlottesville on Monday at Clark Hall at the University of Virginia at 4 o'clock, free and open to the public. Get there early and get a good seat. Jeffrey, tell us about, you write in your book about the fact that if there is life out there, chances are they know we're here because of our radio and television signals, which are going out everywhere at the speed of light.
If there are advanced civilizations out there, then, and if they have the technology that would allow them to travel among the stars, then they certainly would also have technology that would allow them to listen for signals coming among the stars. So anyone located within about 50 light years, 70 light years of Earth would by now have been able to pick up some of our past TV and radio signals. Now, further away from that, they wouldn't know about us yet because it takes that light longer to travel out that far. But yes, we are making our presence known to anyone with a sufficiently advanced technology who's looking.
Yeah. What is it you think that most people don't get or don't know about the search for alien life and how science works when it comes to this search? Because there's a lot of scientists like yourself who are interested in this. There's a lot who are, you know, actively looking as we speak for life elsewhere.
You know, I think probably the biggest misconception about it is that people tend to think, you know, because scientists are very skeptical of reports of UFOs and things like that, that it means we're somehow anti-alien or something like that. But we're not. We're very pro-alien. I think that almost every scientist I know would love nothing more than to be the first person to ever prove beyond doubt that we are sharing the universe with others. It would be just one of the most incredible discoveries of all time. So, and that was one of the messages I tried to get across at MUFON, was that the scientists are trying to learn the same things that the UFO believers are. It's just that we haven't been convinced yet.
Still waiting.
We're hoping to get convinced soon.
Yeah, yeah. The book is Beyond UFOs. Author and astrophysicist Jeffrey Bennett is coming to Charlottesville. He'll be here on Monday speaking at the University of Virginia, Clark Hall at 4 o'clock. Get there early, get a good seat, pick up a copy of the book, get it signed. Jeffrey, great to talk to you. Fantastic book.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.